It's Thursday, June 28th, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central, show number 777. Kind of a weird number for a show, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Save 25% on a one-year fourth-generation hosting account by using the promo code NAB. Or get a three-month economy hosting for $1.99 per month by using the promo code 199GEEK. That promo code dies here in just a couple of days, folks. So if you want that three-month economy hosting for $1.99 a month, get out there and get access to it right now because, again, the code is going to die here in a few days. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, everyone, I got a great show lined up for you tonight. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There's no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the Lone Star State and the Geek News Central High Definition Mobile Broadcast Studio. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran, and I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. And really, when you're over on the website, this is a great way to get connected with the show so you can really check out everything that's going on. It's real easy to do so. Let me make the switch here for us so we can bring up the cam. And of course, what you want to do is get over to Geek News Central and, you know, on the second column of the website, there's a place there where you can subscribe to the show through iTunes, through Zune. You can grab the RSS feed and really get subscribed and stay connected with the show. Of course, you can always check out the show. We'll send out a newsletter after every single show. That newsletter contains every link that I'm going to cover during the podcast tonight. And I tell you, one thing that's really important here is we have moved the show notes to a new website. We moved the show notes to gncshownotes.com. And that's where the show notes reside these days, largely because Google was hammering me by putting 50 links on every blog post we had for the show. So definitely check out the show links at gncshownotes.com. Of course, if you're on the newsletter, again, you get the newsletter automatically dropped into your inbox. It's real easy. Stay connected with me, and it's real. Imagine. Just reach out to me on Twitter at Geek News. That's just the easiest. You know, you can add Geek News and just send me a little note. Of course, you can privately email me here at geeknews@gmail.com. All the emails come in are read on the air, unless you ask me not to. So make sure if you don't want me to read on the air, you say that right in the first sentence. But again, geeknews@gmail.com is the place to reach out. Of course, our hotline is open 24 hours a day at 619-342-7365. Yes, we are live tonight from the Lone Star State. I'm wrapping up my trip here in Central Texas. The heat has abated just a little bit. I mean, the first couple of days I was here, I had to come back to the hotel room at night and just like to melt. I mean, I got in my car one day, and the car has a temperature sensor on it, and the thermometer said 121. And I'm like, how can it be 121? It can't be that hot. Of course, ran the AC, got the car cooled down, and even after I'd been moving about 10 or 15 minutes, it still said 108. I'm like, this is insane. Now, talking with my mom tonight, there were 108 in Michigan today, which has to break all kinds of records. Of course, fires everywhere going on in Colorado, and lots of homes being burnt down. It's just insane, the heat. I am looking forward to getting on an airplane Saturday morning and getting my butt back to Honolulu to the calm and tropical weather that is there. And but anyway, you know, I've wrapped up a good week here in Texas, and I've got a couple things left planned that's going to be kind of cool. But first of all, I want to just take a moment. Of course, I want to thank our sponsors here at Geek News Central. You know, we've had great sponsors all month. Citrix GoToMeeting was in here for a good part of the month. Of course, GoDaddy's been here the whole month. And don't forget to check out GoDaddy.com's great offers. We have great savings for you and lots of great promo codes for you to use when you're over at GoDaddy.com. Now, I have a whole stack of stuff for you. Now, let's see if I can actually bring up the right screen for you. You know, really what they've done here is they've made available lots of discounts, and I've got lots of discount codes for you to use. Right now, of course, at Economy Hosting, $199 Geek will get you 3 months of Economy web hosting for $1.99 a month. Of course, you can use our NAB promo code. That'll save you 25% off when you do a full year. And, of course, all the codes at Geek News Central as well. You'll find that at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. The link to it's right there under the important links link on the main website. Again, lots of great codes. Geek15 saves you 15% on any order $20 or more. Aloha will save you $20 on any order $75 or more. So you get $75 in the checkout line. Use the code Aloha immediately, bam, $20 off. ComSale, $7.99 on .coms. ComSale 3, $8.49 renewals. Now, I got a little secret for you. Okay, so I want you really to be prepped here on what I'm about ready to tell you. If you're going to buy a bunch of domains, wait to July 1st. That's all I can say. Because I got an offer that is going to be awesome. But there's going to be a limit to just 3 on this particular code. So I'm going to school you guys on the next show on how to maximize the utilization of this great code I'm going to give you. Well, of course, we're green screening again tonight in the last show. What I found was when we got done, and I've been doing testing here in the hotel room studio or International Space Station background, as you can see, is as the show progressed, my lip sync basically got way off. So I was speaking, and what you guys saw on the screen was just totally atrocious. So I've backed off the recording levels a little bit in Wirecast, hoping everything will stay synced all the way across the 2 tests I did today. Everything stayed lined up, so my fingers are crossed that everything is going to cooperate. Hey, what I've got going on here is looks like I'm going to be meeting up with Adam Curry, the Podfather, on Friday night. We're going to be hanging out at a hotel bar or something in Austin. He basically sent me the link to it, so we're going to have a little chat. I think there's going to be some other people there as well. So I look forward to that. You know, there's lots of stuff moving on in the podcasting space we're going to talk about right at the very beginning of the tech show, of course. So that look forward to that conversation with him, and I'll share that with you guys next week when we get back in Honolulu. My wife picked up my mother-in-law from the airport, so she's in from Japan for 2 months, and for some of you fellas, 2 months with your mother-in-law is, for me, she loves me, so it's all good. It's not going to be a problem, but 2 months, and I may have some additional company coming too. At least that's the word on the street. I've actually had a great time here in Texas this trip, got a lot accomplished, lots of meetings, consulting with clients and so forth. But it's time to load up and be back in the studio in Honolulu. Look forward to being back again, of course. And we'll have our regular shows next week along. And there'll be no Saturday Morning Tech this week because I am, a.k.a., on an airplane headed home. So I'll keep you advised here on what the schedule is for next week. But we'll definitely have a Saturday Morning Tech when I'm back in Honolulu. Hey, for those of you that are watching on the stream, thanks for being here. Thanks for checking us out tonight and hanging out. But I got a large stack of stuff tonight to talk about. A lot of stuff going on with Google. But I think the first thing I want to do is talk about the what's going on with podcasting in the actual iTunes store. So if you are an iPhone user or have an iPad, they have released a brand new podcasting app. Now, KL was nice enough to get out a review almost instantly. I've been playing with it for a few days as well. It's a free download available again in the App Store. So what I found here is a lot of people say, it doesn't automatically download. But what you have to do is you have to play around the settings, and you can actually find really information on how to automate downloads. It's going to sync with your current iTunes settings, so whatever you're subscribed to now, it's automatically going to get picked up. The one thing I do think that sucks about the device is they show this old-fashioned tape recorder here running when an episode is playing, which you can fast-forward, gives you information, you newest to oldest. Some people are really not paying attention to their RSS feeds because some of them were listed. Basically, their newest episodes were at the absolute bottom of their stream. So anyway, that is available, of course, now on the iPhone and iPad. Nice apps for both, and it's actually drove some conversation in the media space on really kind of what's happening so far as the where podcasting's been really since Apple came on board and started supporting podcasting in iTunes in 2005. Some rumors going around that podcasting may be removed out of iTunes as they're trying to lighten the load and focus more on basically core stuff. We'll see where that is. One thing I didn't really like about the app is it only shows in each category 5 shows. So really what you got to do is you did get subscribed, come to the website with your phone, click on the iTunes RSS link, iTunes link on, again, the second column of the website, and that's going to get you, boom, it's going to bring you right up into the app, and you'll be able to right there subscribe, and that way you'll never miss a single episode. Okay, Dave Weiner over at scripting.com, he has put out a new podcast, and he's basically a story of podcasting. Now, Dave and Adam Curry, of course, I call Dave one of the podfathers as well. He was equally responsible for some of the cool stuff that was implemented. So, you know, I want to give him credit where credit is due. And definitely check out this podcast by Dave. And I think you'll find it enlightening. I cover most of this material in my book that I did back in 2005. Of course, you don't have to buy the book now. It's a little out of date. But again, the story of podcasting. And of course, this is a pretty good rundown by Dave and Andrew Phelps. And so anyway, definitely check it out. Okay, you know, Julian Assange has been essentially holed up in the Ecuadorian embassy there in the UK seeking asylum. And the London police have ordered him to turn himself over. At this point, he is not willing to do so. There is some you know, paperwork being done by the Ecuadorian staff to see if he qualifies. There is some expectation that he is going to be granted asylum. And what that really means here is, you know, he had some associations with some of the people within the government, and it is said that he may be on the verge of getting asylum with Ecuador. So if that happens, I'm sure there's going to be a showdown take place. But if he steps outside the embassy, he's going to be rearrested under what they call the Bail Act by police. And there's officers that are currently camped outside the embassy waiting for him to appear if he so does so. So, of course, he's trying to escape extradition to another country for, I think it's, well, he's got some adult charges against him that they want him to be brought to trial on. So we'll see where this goes. All right, Comcast has been ordered and actually has paid the United States $800,000 for hiding standalone broadband offerings. So this is interesting. So the FTC has settled the case with Comcast on charges that the cable consumer made it hard for consumers that only wanted strictly the broadband. They didn't want any TV, nothing, and it made it almost impossible for them to buy that. Now, Time Warner is almost the same. You go on Time Warner's website, good luck finding just the listing for broadband services as well. But basically, under this case, the commission required Comcast to offer standalone broadband services on terms equivalent to packages that bundle broadband and video cable services. Comcast was ordered to offer a broadband service with download speeds of at least 6 megabytes at a price no greater than $49.95 for 3 years. The commission also prohibited Comcast from raising prices on the required broadband services for 2 years. Now, this was as part of its deal with NBC, buying NBC Universal. Finally, Comcast had to visibly offer and actively market standalone broadband internet access service to highlight the availability of the service and standalone broadband services, which they essentially failed to do. So because they didn't do that, the FTC went after them and said, hey, you're cheating on your agreement with us. Get your checkbook out. Quite frankly, I think $800,000 is probably a very cheap price for them to pay for what they did. So we'll keep you advised on where that goes, and hopefully those of you on Comcast that only want internet only will have no problem finding that link in the future. All right, the Google I.O. Developers Conference is going on this week. This is, wow, they've had some major announcements. If you're a Google Plus user, I think the biggest thing that has been the biggest announcement on Google Plus is the new event feature. And I think what's really cool about this, and I was looking through it, and I'm thinking, okay, I don't want to do one for each podcast, but you can create an event for, let's say, a party, a wedding, an outing that you're going to go to, even a family event. And what you do is you invite those that are going to be attending the party or are going to be traveling with you or however it may be, and it could be just your kids, your wife, and you, and you basically create this event so that people that are going to it, it's basically they can submit pictures, videos, commentary, links, you name it, and you basically build this big events package, which is really awesome. So if you have an event, you're going to have a number of people to it, whether it be, again, dinner, a party, just going out in town to the theater, whatever it may be, you can create these great events, and then once the event is over, people can submit more pictures and stuff, and then you have essentially this decoupage of content that is in from your event that you can post and share, and everyone that went to your party can also look at that information. I think this is absolutely fantastic. It really gives the folks that are going to be going to your event some serious engagement. Now, if they're not connected digitally and they don't have a smartphone and stuff like that, it's going to lessen the real impact. But the cool thing is they can log on with their computer later and upload stuff as they want to and pick, you know, special pictures and so forth. I think for weddings and that kind of thing, this is going to be a must feature that people are going to want to use. So, again, definitely check out what's going on with Google Events on Google+. I think they hit a home run with this one for sure. All right, the Google Nexus 7 has also been announced. Of course, everyone's automatically want to compare it to the Amazon Kindle. So what they're going to be doing is they're going to be releasing the Google Nexus 7 tablet. It's going to be, it's going to be available for $299, and it's going to be running Android 4.1 Jelly Bean. It's a 7-inch device. So this is a Google-branded tablet that the folks from Asus has made. It's going to be priced at $199. It's going to be available directly through Google Play. So this is a nice little addition. It's only going to have 1280 by 800 on the pixels. But if you look at the cost comparison between it and the Amazon Kindle Fire, the screen size is the same. The Google Nexus 7's screen resolution is a little bit greater, 1280 by 800 versus 1024 by 600. It has a higher pixel density of 216 pixels per inch. It has, of course, the newest Android 4.1 versus Android 2.3.4 that's running on the Kindle Fire. It has a quad-core 1.3 gigahertz NVIDIA Tegra 3 processor compared to a dual-core TI-OMP4 on the Kindle. It's got 802.11. It's got NFC, which the Kindle doesn't have. It's got Bluetooth, which the Kindle doesn't have. It has a 1.2 megapixel camera. There's no camera on the Amazon Kindle Fire. Battery, 9 hours, manufacturer estimated. So, all in all, worth the $50 extra for the $249 device, where you get 16 gigs of storage. So this is, I think, going to be a great new addition. There's plenty. I have links up in the show notes where you can go look at this thing. And this might be your way to get into the Android market, because Google also announced the Nexus Q. And this is a $299 device that's going to be shipping mid-July. And this is basically Google's first consumer electronics product. Now, I'm really kind of concerned because they're offering this Nexus Q, and how does this compete with Google TV? I'm not fully sure. But what it is, it's basically a device where you can play audio, music, and a variety of different other things on it, where it's going to be controlled completely by your Android device. So if you don't have any Android devices, folks, especially if you're just an iPhone or an iPad user, don't go out and buy this thing, because you're really not going to be able to control it initially. Now, they say they're going to build some interfaces later, but it's essentially a little spear. And it's got a cool little design. But there's lots of videos online about this. They talk about how it works. But again, $299 is what it's going to be available for. And they're also going to sell some bookshelf speakers. They're going to go along with it for $399. I think those are going to be wirelessly connected. So just some options there. But it does have a 25-watt amp that's basically going to be able to give you some little extra bump when it comes to the music, you know, basically the power out of this thing. So this is an interesting device that they've come out with and they've announced. We'll see where this goes. I think the price is a little bit high considering you get an Apple TV for $99 and it does a lot more. But I think the most amazing demonstration at the Google I/O event, the very opening event, was when the folks at Apple essentially had a cool demo. And let me bring up just basically a screenshot here. Over on Engadget, they have a little bit of a rundown on this, but Google Glass's demo that was done was simply remarkable. They had some guys parachute out of an airplane. You followed them down as they were parachuting. They landed on Moscone Center. They did all kinds of cool stuff. They jumped some bikes off the roof. I mean, just nutsy stuff with the Google glasses on, and you were getting this, you know, this fun ride with these fantastic athletes. Then they brought them on stage, showed them off, and what they basically have done is, if you're a developer, you can now put on order to get a developer's version of Google Glasses. Now, they're not cheap. The developer's version is going to be $1,500, and they're going to make them available for developers to have come this fall or early spring of 2013, and they're saying that Google Glasses are going to come to the market sometime in 2014. Now, this is, for me, this is like, wow, exciting stuff, because I'm really excited about where this particular technology is heading. I think just the geek factor alone, we're all geeks that listen or watch the show, at least a certain level. Now, at $1,500, it's not such a geeky thing for me because it's just a little bit too high. And actually, what's going on here? We're losing the green screen on the corner. Oh, man, that sucks bad. So let me see if I can fix this. Probably cannot. What it is it's getting dark here. And see if I can adjust that. No, I cannot. Well, this... Oh, there it goes. I stabbed it off for a little while. Those of you that were watching were seeing the green screen dissipate on the bottom of the screen. I tried to adjust the black so that the headsets wouldn't sparkle this time. That was happening on the last show. All right, so let me go ahead here and really switch gears. And we've talked about the Google Glasses, and of course we're going to see what happens there. But if you're an iPhone user, Google Chrome is coming to the iPhone. And I think it's actually available now on iOS. There's some reviews already up online. So if you're a Google Chrome fan and you're tired of using the Safari browser, go grab it and use it. A lot of people have good things to say so far about the Google Chrome for iPhone. And I'm assuming they have an iPad version as well. If you're using Google Drive, they've got another app for those of us that are on iOS. So you'll be able to download a Google Drive app and get access to all your docs. This is, you know, I'm a big Google Docs user. All my stuff is up in the cloud for business-wise, and I just find it very cool to be able to get in there and access that easily with a single app, click, 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 you know, and it's up in front of me. So, you know, this makes it cool that Google is really making sure that all of us that are iOS users are going to have access to all these cool apps. Those of you who are on Android, you already have it. It's available for you. So that means there's really no stretch for you guys. But at least they're, you know, Google's saying we got to take care of the iOS market at the same time, which is awesome. So I'll have a link up to that in the show notes. Now, Google TV, I'm excited to say, is going to be getting subscription billing support for movie and TV purchases in Google Play. And I'm a big Google TV fan. You can watch this show when it's up available. I can have it up on Google TV. I have it on Roku. I have it on Boxy. I have it on Samsung Smart TV. So for me to be able to push more people to using Google TV, which I think at this point is the superior playback platform for a set-top box, it's exciting for those of you that have Google Play accounts. You're going to be able to buy movie and TV purchases through this. And I think it's really a big deal. Now, they've got, of course, their partners, LG, Sony, Vizio, is going to, you know, here, Vizio, you go into a Sam's or a Costco, Vizio. That's the, you know, that is one of the big brands that are in those big boxes, and they have great TVs at a great price. LG as well. Of course, Sony usually pay a little bit of a premium, but with all these developers on board with Google TV, those are some of the big companies that sell television sets, so it's exciting to see this move forward. A lot of things going to happen here in the next few months. Now, if you shelled out $900 to go to the Google I.O. conference, of course, the Google I.O. conference sold out in like 20 minutes when they announced it really early morning on the East Coast. So what they've done is everyone that has went got a Nexus 7 tablet, they got a Nexus Q device, they got the new Galaxy Nexus phone, and they got a Chromebook. A Chromebook as well. Samsung Chromebook. $1,176 worth of stuff. Some folks got in free because of press passes. I think this is an event I'm going to have to start going to just for the hardware haul alone. These folks got all their money back from what they've spent on their ticket. So, you know, for those folks that spent $900, they're $200 positive. That goes a little bit towards their lunch and hotel fees that they're paying in San Francisco. But completely awesome. All right, let's switch gears, and let's leave the Google stuff alone. A lot of stuff on the internet. All the major sites have it. Engadget, Gizmodo, The Verge has everything you need to know about what Google has announced. And, of course, here we've had three exciting weeks. We had a big exciting week with Apple. We had a big exciting week with Microsoft. Now we've had a big exciting week with Google. If this doesn't get the geek juices flowing, nothing does. I'll be honest with you. This is awesome. It's been fantastic. And I've been doing nothing but every night reading. And I know many of you have as well. But lots of stuff coming down the pike here for all of us. Now, let's talk a little bit about security, and we'll switch gears here. And I got an article that I found over on torrentfreak.com, one of the sites I visit on a daily basis. So they've got this story on how long does your ISP store your IP logs. And I think we all want to know that, right? That's really nothing that is ever published publicly. So, of course, in Hawaii, I'm on Time Warner Cable. Time Warner informed Torrent Freak that they store IP logs for up to 6 months. Comcast has a 180-day retention policy. Verizon, if you're a Verizon customer, if you're using a Verizon wireless device or even on Fios, 18 months, okay? If you're a Quest Century user, they keep them for 1 year. Cox does 6 months. AT&T did not reply to their questioning on how long they keep their stuff, so it makes you really wonder, okay, how long is AT&T holding the data back? So we'll have to see if they respond on this, but this is gives you an idea anywhere from really what it looks like 6 months to about 18 months is the norm. So if you're on the internet and you do something and you go to a website, they have logged where you have went and can be attributed back to your account. And really, you're not going to get away from the long handle of the law if they look at your account over an 18-month period for something you should not have done. So just be aware of that, okay? Okay, open Wi-Fi. There's been so many folks that have had their doors kicked in, put on the floor, guns put to the back of their head, from essentially raids on homes because the folks had an open Wi-Fi and someone else was using their content, or using them for some nefarious events. So over at Ars, a SWAT team has thrown flashbangs and raids the wrong home, traumatized an 18-year-old girl watching TV, and basically, the mayor had the press with them. Is this going to be a big bust? We're going to go in and get these guys. And boom, they got the wrong house because these folks had an open Wi-Fi. And you know what ended up happening? You know, some innocent people were impacted heavily, you know, for a better part of an afternoon. and doors got kicked in, you know, end up with the smoke in the house, a little explosive device goes in, to, you know, to really ruffle your feathers. So, you know, this is just, this type of stuff has to end. And unfortunately, it's not going to. But the only way I can really tell you guys to protect yourself, please, please, please lock down your Wi-Fis. You know, many of us like to leave it open, but it's just too dangerous at this point. With all the knuckleheads doing the weird things that they do out there, you know, it's just going to end up causing you misery. And you may be on the end of a SWAT team kicking your door in and thinking that you're the one that sent some emails to a police department that were threatening in nature. And, you know, these folks were, you know, essentially being prosecuted because, you know, they're not going to get prosecuted, but they're innocent for doing what was done. All right, this is a major victory for Kim.com. The New Zealand government has basically ruled that the search warrants that were used to raid his home and his properties in New Zealand was illegal. And this is big. You know, the New Zealanders handed over all his hard drives, 150 terabytes worth of hard drives that was in his house, his business, and so forth. And that was just, you know, from the raid. That doesn't include the servers that were in the United States. But the New Zealand judges savaged the process that was used to target Mega Upload, Kims.com, and basically saying to the U.S. Justice Department, give us those drives back now. And they're going to have to go back and look at this. So they say the search and seizure was illegal. Have we ever heard that before in the United States, a seizure and seizure being illegal? So, you know, here it is. And it's once again, we've got the United States applying our laws to someone that lives in another country and essentially totally disregarding local laws. And, I'm not going to talk about right or wrong in this case. I'm just talking about the fairness. And with local law should apply in all cases. And if there's a working relationships between the U.S. government and a local law enforcement, why wasn't the local law enforcement people sticking to their guns and basically working within what is allowed within the New Zealand judicial system? And basically the ruling was the warrants were general warrants as such are invalid because the police relied on invalid warrants. So the search and seizure was therefore illegal and the data should not have been imaged wholesale by the FBI without .com's consent, with the judge found no evidence of. So basically, this ruling makes it clear that both the warrants were illegal and that removing the cloned data to the United States was unlawful. So they're still going forward with the extradition hearing, but this has got to have a major impact negatively to that case. We'll see where this is going, but maybe finally is a win for the, you know, for the digital guys on this. And again, I'm not gonna talk about the plus and minuses of this at all. But I just think that finally a country's willing to stand up and protect their citizens through their own laws. All right, let's talk about TV ads. Lots of discussion going on right now. Lots of looking at what is really happening. But apparently, they're starting now with their digital cable boxes to know that you are the one controlling the remote control and targeting you. They're using a whole bunch of new algorithms now, and you may be actually be starting to be served ads that were for you and not for your wife. So this is an interesting development, and it's based upon what you're watching, you know. I watch a couple of shows now, Ice Road Truckers. I watch, you know, when those gold diggers are on, I watch them, the pickers, you know, that kind of stuff I think is kind of cool. I usually watch for 15 minutes as I'm about ready to pass out, but the ads are in those shows are supposed to be targeting you now. And basically they're using technology, that's proprietary to basically spy on you, know who's who. All right. Also, let's talk about a cool event that was captured using a combination of the Hubble Space Telescope and the Swift observations. Astronomers apparently witnessed some of the planet of a planet that they were viewing's atmosphere being peeled away by a powerful stellar blast. Now, there is a star that orbits just 4 million kilometers from the surface of this. So you got the sun, you got a planet out there, and then basically they're watching way out, And this this star had a big X-ray flare, and as it hit the planet, part of the atmosphere peeled off. This was huge, and this is the first time they've ever seen this. They're pretty excited. I'd like to see some of that video. I wonder if we could actually see it or how they deduced that. But that was a cool thing in the science side. All right, let's talk about TSA. You know, TSA hates me because when I go to the airport, I'm always like, no, I'm not going through your scanning machine. And, you know, so some of the TSA agents are getting to know me. You know, I go in certain airports a lot, and they're like, they wave me because they know I'm not going to get the, you know, no hands up. I know I don't want to be scanned. And so they have, they are, you know, they drive me nuts. So, but what's going on now is that they're trying to decide whether or not they're going to apply TSA rules to, make an adjustment here to the green screen. It keeps, as it keeps getting darker here in my location, I keep getting flickering. A representative, Jackie Speier, has put forth a bill to extend TSA to mass transit. You know, TSA invades our lives at the airports. We go through those metal detectors and secondary searches and so forth. But basically, she's saying that because people are on trains a lot more than they're on airplanes, she's going to start to try to push through where basically TSA is going to come in and set up security checkpoints for all of you that are getting on trains. You're going to have to go through the same type of elaborate screening to board your train. Now imagine this in New York subway system where you're in a hurry, you go down, your trains come in, and you have to stand in a line to go through secondary screening every day to get on a train to go home and have your bag scanned and everything else. This is insane. The number of people that are on trains are much higher than are on airplanes on a daily basis. 5 million people ride the subway. Can you imagine having to go and get screened every time you were going to go on the subway? You know, obviously, I don't live on the Eastern Seaboard. I'm not dealing with mass transit too much. But and what are they going to do next? Buses? You get on a bus, you're going to have to get screened to get on a bus? You know, it's gotten out of control. It really, really has. And it just goes to show you that they're going to do everything they can to inconvenience us. Of course, the big Supreme Court ruling today went down. I know many of you are probably on one side of the fence or on the other on that. And I don't want to get into the politics, but, you know, it's pretty amazing. For the first time ever, as a private citizen, you're going to be told you have to purchase a product from a private company, and they're labeling it as a tax. It just is simply remarkable. It really, really is. You know, there's probably some good benefits to the healthcare plan, and there's the opposite stuff. But, geez, you know, I understand to drive, I have to have a license and all that stuff. But now you have to go buy a product from a private company. You're being forced to. You have to. You have no choice, or you're going to get a fine, and it's being labeled as a tax. If they're going to do this, just take it out of my paycheck and give me health care. You know, be done with it. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, let's move on. And again, I'm not here to debate it. I just find it remarkable that they're going to do that. All right, a hardware hacker has been sentenced to 3 years in prison for selling rooted cable modems. You know, cable modems, it used to be back in the day when they had analog. You know, you could buy an analog cable modem that was pretty open. But I've never heard about an actual cable modem being rooted. But this guy's been basically got 3 years. And he had a $1 million scheme to defraud cable companies. So, but anyway, he's going to jail. He had sold rooted cable modems that could be used by buyers to obtain free internet service or bypass subscriber limits. Uncapped cable modems remove bandwidth filters imposed by ISPs, which then would increase the speed. So an interesting move. It wasn't for television. It was for internet service. And, but anyway, those folks that have those, they have now been probably sought out. All right, infrared telescope can pick out the atmosphere on distant planets and tell you what aliens are smelling. So astronomers in Chile are using the European Southern Observatory, a very large telescope, are now able to analyze the atmosphere of a faraway planet and for the first time take a reading of the atmosphere while not in transit, whatever that means. So this is kind of cool. So they said, the first one they analyzed was completely enshrouded in carbon monoxide. I'm sure that didn't smell so well if you were there, but it might be a way for them to start cataloging stars and planets a little bit better. Not stars, but planets, to see what see if they have survivable atmospheres or if they just simply stink. Okay, deal of the day. This basically came from Gizmodo. Let me actually bring this up for you guys. Are you guys looking for security cameras? Have you thought about buying a security camera? Well, the folks at Gizmodo have the Zimodo DVR. And this is, it looks like a 4-camera system. And price on it, 63% off on their link. I'll have that in the show notes. So if you're in the market for a security camera, this might be the way to go. And didn't read a lot of details on this, but anytime I see a cool deal like that, I want to share it with you guys. All right, the National Weather Service is going to start sending severe weather warnings directly to your smartphone. And this is pretty smart of them. And, you know, I think they've been testing this for a while. Last year we had a couple of failed tests. But if you're in an area that is basically going to get a tornado warning, what they're going to do is they're going to send via text message a severe warning to your smartphone. And this is using the wireless emergency alert system. It's going to notify people of approaching tornadoes, hurricanes, typhoons, tsunamis, flash floods, extreme winds, blizzards, ice storms, dust storms. And you're going to get a 90-character message along with a link to where to go for more information. I think this is cool. It's probably going to save. So if it's storming out and your phone beeps at you, please pay attention to it. Go read the text message. It's probably not just a Facebook update. It could be the National Weather Service sending you a text saying, get in your basement now. All right, Verizon Share Everything plans are now available. I saw them being advertised on television last night. One thing that I want to remind you, before you go run out and jump on these Share Everything plans, if you've got the money to buy a phone up front in cash, look at the data plans that are available from a variety of servers where you prepay, and you basically buy as you go. I'm finding the deals where you can save as much as $1,200, $1,300. We've talked about this in previous shows. Over the life of a 2-year contract, you can save $1,200 to $1,300 by just buying the phone. Don't buy a subsidized phone. Don't get locked into their data plans, and you can do a lot better. So as soon as I get back to Hawaii, I've already been instructed I'm going to be buying some new phones. So and we're just going to pay for them, and then we're just going to buy a data plan and then pay for it month to month. All right, Google has launched a supposed alleged Amazon Web Service killer. So far, the reviews aren't so positive, but it's called the Compute Engine Infrastructure as a Service, a bid to offer cloud infrastructure like AWS. So it's available for a limited preview. We'll see more of this as time goes on, but definitely Amazon is the king of the hill right now when it comes to in-the-cloud computing services. How many of you have put tape on something and wish that there was a way where you could just open, you know, when you receive a package, you get this gob of tape that's on it, and it just drives you nuts? How would you like tape with a rip cord? Well, the folks at ogizmo.com are showing us tape with a rip cord makes scissors obsolete. You put it on your package. When you get your package, all you do is you pull the rip cord and you're into the package. It's available for each roll sells for $4. I don't know if this would tempt someone to rip something off too quickly or not, but again, this is available over at ogizmo.com. All right, another article over at torrentfreak.com. Those of you that live in Ireland, here's an update. The Irish Recording Music Association have been working with EMI, Sony, and Warner Brothers, and they've secured a court order essentially reestablishing the three strikes and you're outlaw. And so the three-strike anti-flashing, anti-file-sharing mechanism is back on. So if you are connected to an ISP like Earcom in Ireland, you'd be advised the three strikes is back on. The labels have won a major battle there. And, of course, anything they can do to get people off the Internet is what they're going to do. And along with this, Dropbox has banned the BitTorrent startup Box Opus over privacy concerns. I don't know if we covered that on the last show, but Box Opus was the folks who would allow you to put a torrent, put a media file directly into your Dropbox account, and they have basically shut them down. They've locked them out. So, you know, it was short-lived. I figured this much that this was going to happen because I'm sure the folks over at Dropbox were concerned about the liability issues. Gamers, do your hands start sweating when you're using a mouse? Now, this is not, we're talking about basically using your computer and using a regular mouse. Well, there's a fan mouse for the world's sweatiest PC gamers. This is a pretty cool little device. It basically plugs, it has a little fan that plugs in front of your mouse, and it basically blows air on your hand. And this is an interesting development. It's from a company called Thermal Take, and it's called the Black Element Cyclone Gaming Mouse. And so if you want to cool your hand off, and you can unplug this and plug it in as you need, but this is a cool accessory available. Well, there's a lot of speculation going on in the investment space and also looking at companies. You know, RIM, Research in Motion, this is the folks that are behind BlackBerry. The company reported a 33% loss of revenue from 2012's $4.2 billion fourth quarter, which ended up being a $2.8 billion first financial quarter. So this is huge. They are just burning money. $518 million net loss. So this is huge. This is not should come as a surprise because BlackBerry has failed to keep up with good phones. The company said it sold 7.8 million BlackBerries and 260,000 Playbook tablets in the fiscal quarter, and so that's like down from like 13 million that they shipped a year before. So you know, they say their subscriber base continues to grow, but I just wonder if RIM is headed for the scrap heap at some point. I know some of you are hardcore BlackBerry fans, but they are not doing well. They're burning cash in a hurry. There's some good reviews out now about the new Drobo, the Thunderbolt-equipped Drobo Mini and Drobo 5D. You know, this is big. Drobo has basically come out with a network-attached storage device. We've talked about this, but there's some new reviews out and pricing as well. The Drobo 5D is scheduled to launch in July for $800 without hard drives, and the Mini should be available for $599. Not cheap, but definitely this thing's smoking fast. You know, I got a Drobo with this, got a USB connector on it, and the thing is just woefully slow. So, I'm not going to be upgrading anytime soon, as I put in some of my own solutions in that I've written about at Geek News Central here recently. But anyway, if you're a Drobo fan, those are going to become available for you to purchase. The Chromebook is coming to Best Buy. So if you are interested in checking out what's going to be happening with the Chromebook and the new Samsung Chromebook, you'll definitely want to get out to a Best Buy. I wonder if I've got a date on availability here. Yeah, it's usually you could only buy online, but they're going to be sold by Best Buy in the U.S. and Dixon in the U.K. These are the second-generation Chrome OS devices. It includes the Chromebook and basically the Chrome desktop. Again, I don't have a date on when these are going to be available, but at least you'll be able to go in and touch them before you buy them. I'll see if I can get an update for you on when those will actually be available for you to purchase. All right, T-Mobile USA CEO Philip Hum has resigned. No reason why. Well, he said he had to spend more time with his family, but I'm sure something to do with the AT&T failed merger last year probably put him on thin ice. But he's out, and so they're going to be looking for a new CEO. But Jim Ayling, T-Mobile CEO, is taking over in the interim. All right, last. Oh, that was it. That was my last article for the night. Kind of a short news day besides the stuff going on at Google. Let's see if I had anything that came in via email here. And what is today's date? Today is the 28th. The last show was on the 25th. Yeah, we got a number of emails. Got an email here from MS Small Biz. He says, "Hey, Todd, this is a great shot of the last men on moon. Why they just released it, I don't know." So he has a link to a NASA image. He says, "Of course, on close inspection, you have to wonder who took the picture, as only Eugene Cernan and Harrison Schmitt were on the moon at the time, and there doesn't appear to be any footprints from the moon mobile to the vantage point. This picture was taken, maybe it's fake like all the other moon landing photos, ha ha ha. Don't miss the Milky Way image just uploaded as well. I'd love to have that one in super high resolution, so I'll definitely check those out. Thanks for that for MS Small Biz." Got an email, actually came in via LinkedIn from Henrik. He says, "Hey Todd, I'm loving the new podcast app from Apple. I pinged Apple.com feedback last year about this specifically, and Apple really came through. I'm not taking any credit since this did nothing. The only thing the app doesn't do yet is smart playlists, but close enough. If you'd like me to talk about it on your weekly show, I'd be happy to. Let me know. By the way, I released my 100th podcast this month, also on the Tech Podcast Network." So, Henrik, thanks for that. I wish I had linked to your show. I'll have to find that before I publish tonight. Got an email here from Tim. He says, "Hey, these are some really cool tents." So I'll have that link up in the show notes. Got an email here from Near. He says, "Hey, Todd, over the past 6 years I've been listening to you, I tried quite a few podcatchers, but none of them suited my way, and I consume podcasts. I did not like having to sync with my home computer, having to download the player storage, and several other issues did not suit me. A few months back, I came across Podkicker and never looked back. But by the way, I'm no way associated with them, and I'm not an iPhone user, so iTunes is out for me, and I'm an avid Android supporter. Podkicker probably does 97% of what I want a podcatcher to do. You don't have to download anything. You can stream any show. You do, however, have the option to download if you want to, if you plan ahead for when you'll be out of network coverage. The search function is also excellent and found all the shows I wanted to subscribe to. All other features are very intuitive and simple to use. I'm highly recommending this. Hope your listeners will give it a try. All the best, and thanks for the GNC podcast, Nir. Nir is out of Israel. So thanks, Nir, for that. Got an email from Sean. It said, "Hey, Todd, for some reason the morning show RSS feed isn't updating properly in iTunes. It's rather strange because the show listing at iTunes is up to date, yet if I try to subscribe by either the subscribe button in iTunes or by manually adding the TMS RSS feed," he says, "nothing happens." You know, what should be happening there, Sean, is once you're subscribed, you should automatically get it. So I'm kind of curious what's going on there. I've looked into it. We do know we have one issue with the RSS feed. We were expecting a PowerPress update to fix that. But I'll keep you advised. If you see that it's still not updating, please drop me another email, okay? That's it. That's all we got for emails tonight. Again, always, you can reach me at Twitter at Geek News. You can email me here, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, the voicemail hotline is available at 619-342-7365. It's been my pleasure to bring this live show to you from the Lone Star State here in Texas. And of course, if you're just watching now, we've got the International Space Station image in the back. And don't forget our good friends at GoDaddy and our $199 hosting promo code at $199geek. You get 3 months of economy hosting for $1.99 per month. Hey, as always, I want to thank you for hanging out with me here tonight on the show. Send your feedback. Send me a picture for the next mobile show. What do you want me to have for a background? And I'm crossing my fingers tonight that the lips in the video are synced and we're not completely out of whack. But again, it's been my pleasure to bring you this show. I'll be on a chat here for just a little bit after I shut down, but we're going to crank the AC up because the Texas weather hasn't cooled off enough to make it that comfortable. But I'm actually pretty surprised how well the green screen is done, considering everything else has gotten pretty dark. Had to make a few adjustments during the show, but overall I think it did pretty good. Those of you that are in the live stream on Ustream, thanks for hanging out with me tonight. It's been great to have you on board. And until next time, we'll see everyone later. Aloha.